This podcast episode has been brought to you by our good and dear friends from Resilient Fightwear. Resilient Fightwear is a brand located on New York City, New York, obviously, which designs some of the best Muay Thai shorts I ever had the opportunity to wear. Well, not some of the best Muay Thai shorts I've had the opportunity to wear. They have some very awesome designs. They have some immaculate, very soft t-shirts that are super comfortable wearing. They just released their glove line. They make now MMA and boxing / Muay Thai gloves. They're amazing, whatever they do. They're geniuses on their designs. They have awesome designs. They have some of the best hoodies, and it's cold outside. You need a good hoodie. Why not getting it from Resilient Fightwear? They're amazing. And it's a small business, and you know that you have to help them small businesses. Also, this podcast is brought to you by our dear and good friends from Sponsored Fighters. Sponsored Fighters is an online community dedicated to help brands and fighters alike get the growth they need and the representation they need. If you're a brand, just go there and fill the formularies you need, and you're part of the branding listing. If you're a fighter, just fill the forms up and you will be part of the fighter listing. It's an amazing community. It will help your brand or as a literal brand or your brand as a fighter grow. It doesn't matter if you're a boxer, a Muay Thai fighter, a jiu-jitsu grappler, they will help you. It's an amazing project you need to get in. Let's make fighting great. It's the best sport there is. Why not make it grow with the help of Sponsored Fighters? Go there. You can find all the info on my link tree.
Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Big Mo, and I am pleased to welcome you to your podcast main event. Introducing first, your host, he hails from Mexico City, Mexico, presenting Chair Monster, Jose Manuel. I am ready. Our host is ready. Are the listeners ready? No, I said podcast listeners tuning in across the world, are you ready for Che Monster Talks?
Well, today's guest out of Houston, Texas, she is a fitness influencer, life coach. She lifts a lot of heavy ass weights, Sabina McMullen. How is everything?
I'm doing awesome. How are you today?
All great. Very excited to talk about you and all these fucking misconceptions that surround this beautiful world about fitness and a healthy lifestyle and being athletic and just absolutely living life.
Absolutely. Okay, awesome. Well, what do you want to know?
What do you think is the biggest fucking mistake there is? The biggest misconception?
Oh my God. I don't even know where to start because there's so many of them. It's not even funny. I think the biggest like bullshit that's like flying around right now is just anything like magic pills or like magic supplements. I think that's the biggest like piece of bullshit that I see flying all over social media, if I have to be honest.
Yeah, everybody's selling that. Everybody and their mom's selling some kind of weight loss pill or juice or these fucking cleansing programs. Yeah. You lost a shit ton of weight because you're fucking malnourished.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I actually just called someone out for like a 535 calorie diet. It was really, really fucking sad. I actually like, I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Like probably the worst platform that has like a bunch of bullshit on it is TikTok. Instagram's pretty bad, but like TikTok's even worse. And I think it's because there's like such a young crowd on there.
Yeah, I can agree. It's very toxic. Everybody's selling steroids and magic pills and telling you, no, you only need 155 calories a day to lose weight. Fuck you.
Yeah.
You're malnourishing yourself. There's a lot of people like sharing these 1000 calorie diets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I've actually been like able, well, first off, let me just say that like I'm known as like the no BS coach on TikTok. So my TikTok name is Beefcake Brina. That's like my nickname, I guess you could say. And so Beefcake Brina is like this aggressive like persona that I have as a coach. And like she is the aggressive persona that calls out like a bunch of BS that I see on there. So everyone's like, everyone will like tag me and like things that they think are BS. And then they'll be like, hey, Sabrina, address this. And then I'll address it. But yeah, as far as like malnourishment goes, like I see so many like, oh yeah, here's my calorie deficit. I'm eating like 800 calories. And I'm like, 800 calories is not even enough for a grown toddler. In fact, the recommendation for a toddler is 1200. So what makes you think that an adult should be eating that much? So I have to deal with that probably on like a day-to-day basis. It's really, really sad.
Yeah, it fucking sucks. Also, all these people like selling sweatsuits and these fajas. Toxic as shit.
I got called, like people were trying to come at me for fajas. I swear. So Latinas are like, they can be the most, this is just from personal observation. I'm dissing my own kind because I am Latina.
I'm Mexican. I can agree with that.
There you go. So like I'm Venezuelan, but I swear like all the Latinas and Latinos, like they're everyone and their mother is like in some sort of like MLM, right? They're in some pyramid scheme where they're either selling Herbalife or they're selling fajas or they're selling, ¿cómo se dice? Chupa panza, that yellow gel. Yeah, I just called out someone for chupa panza and like Latinos will come at me and they're like, what are you doing? Like, this is like, you know, this works. Like, I swear it works. And I'm like, look, just because like someone says it works and they like psychologically believe and are under the placebo effect doesn't mean that science backs it up. And they just get so upset. But like, the truth is the truth. Like, I don't know what to say to people. Like, literally, like, there's no science to prove any of this stuff. And the only reason why people say it works is because they have a bunch of anecdotal evidence of reviews where they were actually just doing physical activity and they were unintentionally or intentionally in a caloric deficit the whole time. And they were just happened to be using the product like simultaneously. So people just convince themselves that like things work when really it's not. It's like a whole placebo effect.
Yeah. Everybody's selling these. I don't know if I should go to attack the brand, but we both know which with Latino brand we're talking about that sells this chupa panza tea and all this shit, all these fucking laxatives. Yeah, you will weigh less. You're dehydrated. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what a lot of these like weight loss pills is. There are like diuretics that help you lose water or there are laxatives that help you just shit everything out. And then people like step on the scale and they're like, oh my gosh, like I weigh 3 pounds less. And it's like, no shit. You just lost water. And you just pooped everything out. Like, that's it. You didn't really lose any fat. Like that takes some hard work and dedication. And like, it's like everyone is trying to tiptoe around the fact that the real work is being done by a caloric deficit. Like that's it. It's not that complicated. Like caloric deficit is the answer to weight loss, like period.
Yeah. That's the most important thing. Like, yeah, keto works. Yeah. Why? Because you're in a caloric deficit because by not consuming carbs, it's harder to get more calories in.
Yes, exactly. It's just all these like fad diets going around. It's like nobody ever stresses a balanced diet anymore. It's like, oh, keto this, intermittent fasting that. And honestly, there's like low carb this, Atkins diet, cucumber diet. And it's by restricting anything, like you're going to cut calories. Like, duh, if you cut out carbs, you're going to restrict calories. If you cut out protein, you're going to restrict calories. If you cut out anything, you're going to restrict calories. But it doesn't necessarily, just because it can be done, doesn't necessarily mean it's the healthy way to go about it. And I try to tell people that, but there's always going to be a lot of ignorance floating around where people like refuse to believe like what's really the truth because excuses sound good to the person making them up.
Yeah, it sounds great. Let's face it. Everybody wants these magical supplements that gets you fucking ripped and you only need to take it once.
Yeah, it. Apparently. Yeah. I think I came across fat burning coffee the other day and I was sitting there like, I don't know. I was just trying to like comprehend why people thought fat burning coffee was a thing because coffee is coffee. I did a whole explanation.
Coffee sacred. Coffee is sacred, but it won't burn fat.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. I mean, the caffeine itself is a stimulant that like gives you more energy. And yes, your metabolic rate like increases for a short period of time, but that's like such a far reach from saying that it like, it is the direct cause of fat loss. Like use coffee. Like I use coffee all the, I drink coffee all the time, but like to say that it's, it goes as far as being the direct cause of fat loss is just, it's just, it baffles me that people like will just believe this stuff. And for the people that fall for it, like a lot of it is just like not being educated enough, which is okay. So that's kind of what I do on TikTok and what I do on Instagram is like try to educate the public and whatnot to like, you know, say, see that like, hey, like this stuff actually doesn't work. Here's the real reason why, like, you know, just because you take this doesn't mean it's going to do all the work for you. I mean, you can't expect to rely on products. Keyword is rely, rely on products and expect to excel at your journey. No, nobody who has ever excelled and continues to excel has ever completely relied on these products. They may have in the beginning and then have realized like, oh, like this product actually wasn't doing the real work. It was me the whole time with my whole workout and diet regimen. That's fine. You can rely on products at first, but if you continue to rely on products, you're literally just proving that you lack discipline. And a lot of people don't see that. They think that, oh, I just don't have motivation. No, like you just simply don't. You simply lack discipline. And the truth hurts. I know that anyone listening to that is probably going to be really fucking hurt by that, honestly. But that, I mean, I don't know. People need to wake up at some point. So I'm going to tell it how it is. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything.
This is a no BS podcast. So you can be as, you can be as direct as you want.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna be honest. I was very, when I first was on a weight loss journey, I was a lot, I would always be on with these fat loss pills that didn't even cause me diarrhea. It was just a fucking placebo effect. Mm-hmm. But I realized I was starting to eat less and all that shit. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why am I fucking wasting $25 and if every fucking month on just these fucking pills that don't do shit?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was working out. I was doing all the right stuff. But I was... we're wasting money on bullshit, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that waste their money on like supplements and stuff and then believe it's working at first. I mean, I did the same thing. Like I tried Chupapanza like a long time ago when I first started my like weight loss journey. I tried the waist trainers and I was like, oh, the waist trainers are actually going to bring my waist in. Like the fajas are actually going to make me lose inches off my waist. And then I quickly found out that really wasn't the case. And I was like, oh, wait. Like there's no such thing as like a magic pill or magic product that can actually do these things or these claims that these companies make, like in the very fine print of their directions, like which nobody reads the fine print. It says with physical activity and diet. Like no shit. Of course, if you use it with physical activity and diet, it's going to quote unquote work. But in reality, it's not what's causing the results for you in the first place. So
yeah,
it's just like this
work like mind fuck. 0.2%. I don't know, 0.0005%. It might work like a tiny, tiny, tiny bit.
It'll help make people feel better, but literally the definition of a supplement, like the dictionary definition is an addition.
Mm-hmm.
An addition. So it's like that is, let's just say all of your hard work put in is 95%. Let's just say that those supplements are like even, and I'm being like super generous with this. Let's say it's even 5% of that help. It's that little extra help to kind of give you that little extra push, but it's not going to do the work for you. And no. People expect things to do the work for them because it's just an easy way out. Cause I mean, if everyone's just lazy, I'm going to be honest. Like if there would not, obesity would not be an epidemic. Yeah, an epidemic.
Yeah.
Obesity would not be one of the leading causes of death in the US if we weren't so rooted in such a lazy, lazy culture. I mean, that's how it is.
Yeah, that's completely true. Like you need to get off your ass, just develop discipline. It's very fucking hard, if I'm being honest, especially at the beginning. Discipline, Mike Tyson described it as doing something you hate with a passion, you do something you love.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, right. That's great. And you don't have to be passionate about fitness, like, but for someone to completely ignore the fact, for someone to be obese and completely like ignore the fact that they maybe need to do something to improve their health just a little bit, just so they could live like a slightly better lifestyle. That's just complete ignorance. Like, cool. You don't have to become a bodybuilder, right? You don't have to become like the Olympic weightlifter or this champion in some sort of fitness realm. But, you know, as long as you're doing something to improve your health or make an effort to just do like something tiny, it doesn't even have to be, you don't even have to go to the gym, just like walk, or like, I don't know, maybe like not eat like a brownie like every day of the week, just eat it like only like 4 days a week, you know, even if it's something small.
All those little steps,
that's something that can help improve your health in a very small way. But people just completely ignore that and are like, yeah, I'm perfectly fine being obese. And I'm like, okay, like you perfectly being fine with obesity is not going to keep you from
dying
at like 30. But I mean, to each their own. If you want to die at 30, like that's perfectly fine. Like, I'm not one to tell a person what to do, but it's just a very ignorant mindset.
Yeah, they might want to die at 35. I want to live 125 years. It's very different, you know?
Yeah, of course. But
yeah, you cannot be healthy if you are out of breath by just going up a flight of stairs, you know?
No, yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not saying health is equivalent to a size, because it's not, because there are different healthy people at different sizes. But if you are considerably obese or overweight, right, you cannot ignore the facts that there are some improvements to be made. I mean, even with me, like I've been bodybuilding for quite a bit now. I've been lifting for quite a bit now. I can't ignore the fact that I still have improvements to make with my health. Like that's, you know.
We are always on a work in progress. You just get a little bit more specific instead of thinking, fuck, I hit my fucking gut. I'm like, shit, my triceps look small. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, like, fitness is never like a quick road to results ever. I think a fitness journey can be different for everyone, but it's also kind of just one of those things that you need to take your time with. Like, you don't get, like, clearly you did not gain whatever fit, let's say 50 pounds. I'm just shooting that out there, 50 pounds in a week. So you're not going to lose it in a week. You know, you didn't gain it in a month. So you're not going to lose it in a month. And if you do, you're doing something extremely unhealthy with your diet to lose 50 pounds in a month. Let's be real.
Yeah. People just, let's face it, everybody wants just to go to sleep and wake up 15 pounds lighter or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if we could, like, the world, obesity would not be an epidemic right now. Obesity would not be a leading disease. But unfortunately, it's not that way. So, I mean, it's most certainly a choice. And you could argue genetics, and you can argue, oh, my thyroid. But truly, there are ways to fix that. It's corrective. Like, even if you do have a detrimental disease to your health, such as, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. Let's just say like a woman has PCOS, right? Mm-hmm. Polycystic ovarian syndrome. Let's say she has PCOS, which is, it's more difficult for women to lose weight when they have PCOS. Okay, then just work a little bit harder. You could still do it. It's still possible. You don't have to go very far in your journey. You could just lose a couple pounds if you want to, or just get to a somewhat healthy state. But like PCOS is not an excuse to keep your ass on the couch, you know? It's like, and I'm not saying that coming from a place of privilege. Like, where do you think everyone else started in their fitness journey? Like, people think that it's easy for everyone to start in their fitness journey. Like, or they think that like fit people now, like, oh, they had it easy, that's why they're so fit. Oh, you just got lucky. Oh, your genetics. That it's your genetics. No, like I literally went through an eating disorder. I suffered from pre-stage of thyroid cancer as a kid. I had hypothyroidism as a kid. I just corrected it over time. Like I was bullied all through grade school. That's 13 whole years of being bullied for like my weight when I was chubby. And then when I had that eating disorder, like, it's not like I didn't go through shit to get where I am today, you know, just like anyone else. Like nobody starts it off easy. Nobody has it easy at first.
Yeah, no one is born with a perfect set of six of abs, a fucking huge arms and a fucking dump truck. Well, maybe the last one, yes, but most people aren't.
Yeah,
you need to. You fuck up, you learn a little bit more, you fuck up again, you learn a little bit more, and then you just fuck up a little bit less.
Yeah, it's a learned code of behavior. That's what discipline is. You don't have to be disciplined at fitness. You don't have to be disciplined at, I don't know, let's say school or whatnot, but or education. But if you're passionate about something, you will discipline yourself to get it. It's like, if you want to get your dream job, right? What baby steps are you going to take to get there? If you want your dream body, what baby steps are you going to take to get there? You got to discipline yourself at some point. Like, you can't rely on motivation to just drive you to the goal, you know? And a lot of people do that. I hear that so much. Like, oh, I just lost motivation. Oh, that's why. Oh, 1 second.
Don't worry. I'll pause this.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, let's face it. Discipline outworks motivation, because we'll have shitty days. We'll want to just stay on the fucking couch, eat some shit, and just be a fucking fat ass. But if you are disciplined enough, you will work through it.
Yeah, and that's not to say that like everyone at some point is like not disciplined. Like there's some days where I'm not disciplined, and that's fine. You don't have to be disciplined every single day. You don't have to be at your best every single day. Like, we're all going to have days, even weeks maybe, where we go through periods of time where we're not disciplined. But the difference between a successful person and an unsuccessful person is they don't rely on motivation to be their driving factor. They rely on that discipline. And that's that learned code of behavior, because as soon as motivation starts to fall, an unsuccessful person is going to stop doing whatever they're doing. Right. But a successful person is not going to rely on that motivation. Their effort will still stay constant while the other person fails. And that's why so many people fail at their New Year's resolutions. Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of people sitting here right now that had, you know, had New Year's resolutions and just have completely like just given up on it. I mean, what is it? March now? Yeah. It's March.
Yeah.
A lot of people have given up on it already.
Yeah. There's already gyms that are completely deserted. There's just eating their feelings, whatever. Like, let's face it, by February 20, a lot of people, like 80%, I would think, have already given up with their
goals. That's roughly the statistics. Yeah, like, absolutely right. Like, that's roughly the statistics, and we don't know it for exactly, but that's just a rough estimate. And most people do end up failing by like February, March. And then like, that's fine. But like the problem was people like that waited until New Year's to make resolutions. And then people like that also didn't have the correct mindset to really get to where they needed to be, or they kind of jumped into something they weren't ready for because they didn't know how to set themselves up for success. They didn't know that learned code of discipline, and they didn't sit down with themselves. Like, a lot of them don't premeditate this shit. They like write their resolutions down. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna start tomorrow, and then tomorrow becomes tomorrow, and tomorrow becomes next week, and next week becomes like, oh, I'll just do it like next month or next Monday, or I'll start my diet tomorrow or whatever. Like, tomorrow's such like it's such a toxic word to say to yourself. Like, pushing, if you were really passionate about something, you wouldn't push it off until New Year's, or you wouldn't push it off until Monday or tomorrow or whatever to actually do something to get there. You wouldn't push it off if you were truly dedicated to wanting to get somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Also, like, people, we all want to make excuses. And I think a very common one is I already cheated on my diet. Well, why not make the most of it? Then they keep eating shit all day long instead of, shit, I ate a brownie and it wasn't, today wasn't my cheat today. Fuck, mm-hmm. I will continue with my diet the rest of the day. They're like, okay, 2 cheat days on a week. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best. Like, it's not the worst, but it's not the best.
No, and I think it's okay. It's a kind of like fail for a certain period of time, but there is a point in time where you have to realize, and you got to tell yourself like, okay, let's get back on track, because the longer you wait, of course, the harder it's going to be. And then the more you're just letting yourself down. So yeah, like one time, two times, that's fine. Just get back on track. Like, that's it. Like, you fail, you get up again. You fail, you get up again. Like, successful people will fail 8 times and get up 9. Unsuccessful people will fail 8 times and that's it. They will not get up a 9th time. They'll just Yeah, and I think that's what just leads to a lot of like unhappiness in people's life. They're like, there's a lot of reasons, and I know this like is segueing into like a whole different like tangent of a conversation, but like like it's just like, period, if you want to be successful at anything, like you have to create some sort of discipline to get there. It's simple, but because I think we as Americans or people are, it's just human nature to be just lazy as fuck, and it's terrible. And it's unfortunate that that's the way the world is, but there are truly a lot of happy people that are just, that have like busted their ass to get where they are. Like, I busted my ass to get where I am today.
Everybody should bust their fucking ass. Get up, work out, study harder, whatever you need to do, just do it. That's why Nike is so successful. They have the best slogan. Very simple, but very true, very honest.
Yeah, you fail 100% of the things you didn't take the risk on, right?
Yeah,
exactly. If you don't try in the first place, that you are setting yourself up for failure.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, on this fucking beautiful and marvelous and at the same time terrible and toxic world of fitness, who do you think are the most toxic kind of people?
I would say, there's a lot. So I think there's a few different categories for that. So there's a certain realm of, I would say, influencers that call themselves trainers, or they may actually be trainers. Like, they may actually be certified, but then they're spewing bullshit. They don't do their research, or they're like, hey, drink this magic weight loss drink. So there's influencers. I think that's the biggest category. And then in subcategories of those influencers, there's people that are a part of MLMs or pyramid schemes. And then there's people who have certifications that make other coaches like myself who have a certification. And honestly, low-key, this is why I have an actual like degree in like exercise science. Like, I have a degree to also back myself up. But like, if I just had my certification, that would not look as good, because even people with certifications just don't know jack shit. So I would say in that subcategory, there's certified trainers who don't know crap. And then there's people who are just ripped in general. I guess you can count that as an influencer, but I always say there's people that are ripped in general who, just because they're ripped or just because they have their pro card in bodybuilding, doesn't mean they know their shit. Cause there's too many people on the internet that have a great body, but they're promoting the worst type of products, or they're promoting the worst type of information, or they just do not know what they're talking about, but they sound like they know what they're talking about, but they don't.
Yeah. Oh, I hate especially the last one. I'm a thick boy, so I can't fucking stand these guys that are like, yeah, I can eat pizza every single day and I'm still fucking ripped as fuck. Bro, shut up. I don't know what they are doing. I don't know if they sold their soul to the devil or whatever, but that's not sustainable. Let's face it. Like, eating pizza and being ripped as fuck. If it was sustainable, there would be a shit ton more of bodybuilders.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's okay for like bodybuilders to like, I think it's okay for influencers to eat crap on camera to show that like, hey, you're able to still kind of eat what you want, you know, but you have to maintain a healthy lifestyle. But I think but when it comes to the point of them like boasting about it, then yeah, that's kind of like shoving it in other people's faces, which is something that I could agree with you on. Like, you know, like, don't rub it in other people's faces that you're fit, obviously. But at the same time, like, teach other people that like, yes, sustainability is real. Like, you could still eat things you want, but moderation is the key to success. It's always moderation.
Yeah, you won't be able to go and eat with a beer, have a beer with every meal of the week. But hey, you can go have a beer once every while with your friends. You can eat that burger, you can eat that pizza, but you can't do it daily anymore.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, there are very, very, very few people who can physically eat pizza or eat like shit every day and still look ripped, but there's absolutely no reason to show that off, if anything, because that's just teaching or educating people to the wrong types of things.
Do you take any supplements?
Yeah, in fact, I do, but I know it doesn't do the work for me. So I do not take pre-workout. I used to, but I have black coffee instead because I don't experience a crash. And then I stack that with a thermogenic, and the thermogenic just raises your internal body temperature. So it helps me just sweat just a little more, process of thermogenesis. Obviously it's not going to do the work for me. I'm not saying that, but that's what I take as a pre-workout. And then every now and then I have a very clean form of vegan protein powder that I take to help me, to help assist me in getting some more protein macros if I don't get enough for the day. So usually I get all of my protein and all the macros I need from my food, because honestly, supplements shouldn't be needed, but every once in a while I'll take like a protein shake or whatnot. Other than that, I mean, I don't use any supplements, like any other supplements besides that, and a multivitamin. I mean, literally vitamins, but that's it. I don't use anything else. I don't use like a Faha. I don't use a waist trainer. I did for water weight when I was coming close to my show, but that's all a waist trainer is really good for, is losing water weight. There's a difference between water weight and actual weight. But other than that, like on like a day-to-day basis, yeah, I don't use anything else besides my thermogenic for working out and some protein powder. And then yeah, vitamins, that's it.
You don't take creatine? Creatine?
No, I don't take creatine, but I don't like it because, so what creatine does is it pulls water to the muscles to allow you to endure exercise a little bit longer, so you don't get as fatigued. But you can just do as well just by hydrating yourself, honestly. I mean, creatine's great. It's one of the most like studied supplements out there, so it is proven effective over a long period of time. But I personally just don't like it because I don't like how it makes me hold water weight. I like to look dry during my workouts and whatnot. So I'll just hydrate a lot. I'll just hydrate and then I'll work out that way. I used to take creatine, but not anymore. I mean, it's just like one of those supplements that I'm just kind of like, I just don't really favor it.
I personally started taking it because there's some studies that say that it can also help a lot with head trauma. And as an MMA fighter, you need to take anything you can to protect your little brain.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a bodybuilder being on prep. Like, yeah, of course. Like I take a lot of things to kind of help out when I'm getting to a point to where my body is like deteriorating. Like bodybuilding is such an elite sport that it can be extremely unhealthy if done incorrectly. And if you don't have the right mindset, if you go into bodybuilding, like without the right mindset, you're fucked. You're bound to come out of it. You're bound to come out of prep with depression, or you're bound to come out of it with extreme body dysmorphia. You're bound to come out of it with an eating disorder if you are not in the right mindset. So like even like bodybuilders on prep, when we're down to the extreme, like extremely low body fat percentage states, we're taking extra stuff like BCAAs and like maybe diuretics to help us like dry out for stage, or we're taking extra vitamins like L-theanine, or we're taking cinnamon extract for insulin sensitivity. Like we're taking a lot of things to kind of like help us like prep, you know? So there's a difference. I mean, and then of course, like there's some bodybuilders that like take steroids that help them with the stage, but it's an elite sport. So if you decide to take steroids, like you take it. I personally don't take them. But I mean, eventually in the future, in order to get somewhere in my career, I'm going to have to.
That's just a matter of the fact that you're actually accepting that you're open to the idea of doing that, because let's face it, the internet is full of fake natties.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either. I don't like people claiming fake natty. There's a lot of people with good genetics. I myself have really good muscle building genetics, but yeah, people claiming that they're natural with and not being natural is just, it's extremely deceiving. I mean, that's just like saying like, oh, this Faha was the reason why I lost weight. It's literally the same concept, the same bullshit concepts. Like just admit it. There's nothing wrong with taking steroids. I mean, there's a huge misconception over it in amongst the public, but people who truly understand steroids, who may not even agree with it, still understand that like there is a whole research, there's like education behind it. There's a right way to do it. There's a wrong way to do it. Like you don't just take it and then all of a sudden you fucking get big. Like you have to work with it. It's like steroids are like a supplement. Like you don't just take it and it does the work for you. You got to work.
They're a fucking harder. Supplement. They're a fucking supplement.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, yes, it's a more, I guess you can call it an intense supplement, but you do have to work just as hard, if not harder, to meet up with it. You can't just take it and expect to
FS everything.
Yeah, I think that's a huge misconception amongst the public is like whether you're against it or not, like that's your personal opinion, right? But people who are like, oh, like the reason why you're so big now is because, or like to me, like it's because of steroids, or like if they look at any regular fit person, they're like, oh, you're on steroids. Like, no, there's some people that actually put in hard work. Yes, there's some people who are on steroids, but there are actually some people that have put in a lot of hard work, like myself. But a lot of people use that excuse to make themselves feel better about their lack of hard work. So
I completely agree. I don't have, the only problem I have with steroids is when used on contact sports like football or boxing or MMA or even jiu-jitsu, which jiu-jitsu is full of roided out guys.
Oh, I'm sure. And I don't know much about other sports. But of course, like in bodybuilding, it's accepted, right? There is a non-drug tested division, organization. And then there's a drug tested organization. You can choose whichever one you're in. I'm in the non-drug tested one, but am I taking steroids? No. But do I know that I'm going to have to take some eventually to kind of get to that elite level? Absolutely. But it's part of the sport, right? I'm passionate about the sport. So that, you know, and there's definitely a right way to take things and a wrong way to take things. And of course, I'm still thinking about my longevity, and I'm still thinking about when I'm older, you know, and my health when I'm an older woman. But I've accepted the fact that, like, if I do my research and I'm educated, there is definitely a right way to take it and a somewhat safer way to take it for my sport. But yeah, I don't know much about other sports, so I don't know. Like, I'm curious. Like, so you tell me.
There's a shit ton of stigmas behind it.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Fighters, they sometimes get their careers ruined by that. Because let's face it, like Canelo has popped twice for clenbuterol. I don't know how it's called in English. I think basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a lot of fighters who have popped out of that. If you're on the Olympic level and you get caught, shit, you're out of the Olympic team, you're out of everything. It can ruin someone's career.
Oh, sadly, yeah.
There's, yeah. Sadly, there's always there. And I have boxed guys who were on steroids, but I knew they were on steroids. But I thought I was willing to risk it. I don't think it was the smartest choice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it shouldn't be there. Like, let's face it, on bodybuilder, you're not trying to kill each other. You're working hard, and there's a lot of people who actually think that bodybuilding isn't a sport, which I want to go over there next. I don't think, if you're not trying to harm someone else, you should be able to juice up as much as you fucking want.
Yeah, and of course, like, it's accepted in the bodybuilding community as well. Like, there's plenty of bodybuilders on steroids. Like, it's a thing, right? So I think that's why, like, there, and if you want to be a natural bodybuilder, then be a natural bodybuilder. But there's a lot of bodybuilders that understand that there's, you know, there's natural bodybuilders, and then there's not natural, and that's okay. Like, it's just accepted. Like, that's it. Like, we're not going to bash everyone else for, well, you know, a natural bodybuilder is not going to bash someone for being on steroids, or, you know, or the opposite way around. Like, you don't, you know, but there's so much judgment, I feel like, just in the regular public to people who don't understand sports, who maybe don't understand bodybuilding, who don't understand this or that, where they just make these assumptions, you know.
Yeah. Now, what's your thoughts on all these people that think that bodybuilding isn't a sport? Because I do consider it a sport. I was actually having a debate with one of my friends a couple of weeks ago where he was saying, no, it's just a beauty pageant because, yeah, there is a lot of hard work and they train like athletes, but the competition isn't athletic on its nature.
I think I can agree. So this is something that I've had to talk about too. I think I agree and disagree with like both sides. So I think it's an art, it's not, I wouldn't call it a beauty pageant, right? Because a beauty pageant's a little different. It's not as hardcore. The training's not as hard. The prep is not as hard. We do train like athletes. I would say it's a sport in that sense, but it is more, I feel like, of an art form, right? I think it's a sport. Yes, it's a sport, but we aren't competing. Well, we are competing against someone, but not
directly,
not with physical performance. Does that make sense? Like yeah. the actual performance we've done behind the scenes to get to where we need to be on stage. We're not like, you know, we're not like swimming in a race, or we're not running someone in a race, or we're not seeing who can, you know, we're not in teams against each other. Like in that aspect, it's not a sport. But I feel like I feel like performance wise and the behind the scenes, the training for it, that's very much considered sport-like. But the actual like stage presence and that, I think it's a lot of an art form. So I think it can be both, honestly. I think it could be argued as a sport, but I do see it as being an art form as well. Because
yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I think the whole view of bodybuilding, or this is the way I think about it, and I know a lot of people think about it as well. We are trying to achieve the perfect physique according to NPC standards or GPO standards or IFBB Pro standards. Like whatever the perfect physique is to the judges, like that is what we are trying to achieve, is that symmetrical, perfect physique, even though we know physically it's impossible because everyone's different, right? But on top of that, like we come out on stage like doing a routine and we pose and this and that, like that's the art form part of it. I feel like the sport part of it is, yes, comparing each other to see who wins, who gets more points as far as the scoring goes, but it's also an art form in the sense that we do a routine, you know, we're dressed up, we're glammed up to show off this hard work that we've made. So I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest.
Who do you think is the bodybuilding GOAT?
Oh God. I don't know. Everyone's like obsessed with Chris Bum right now. Chris Bumstead. Everyone's obsessed with him.
He's super handsome. Also, that mustache is fire.
I've never seen someone like pull off a mustache so well. Like it's so, I think mustaches are creepy. Like
someone really so creepy. Young. If you're old, if you're an old grandpa, you can do that.
Yeah. He's super young too. How old is he? Like 20? He's 25, right? Or 26?
Something like that. Yeah, he's super young.
Nice. Yeah, I don't like that. That man is very attractive, and I don't say that in any disrespect to my boyfriend. Like my boyfriend finds him very attractive as well. Like he's an attractive bodybuilder. Like the dude has like a great physique. He's got like a great stage presence. I mean, he's just a very attractive bodybuilder. So right now, I guess I could consider him as GOAT or whatnot. I don't really follow the pros. Like I hear about the pros, but I never, as weird as this sounds, I view them as like great people, right? But I don't look up to anyone as an idol, if that makes sense. Cause I like to use myself as my own idol, right? I want my future self to be my idol. So I keep up with them enough to know that like Chris Bum is like Mr. O right now and Brandon Hendrickson is Mr. O, but I haven't kept up with any of the females. Like, I don't know who Mrs. O is right now. Just because like, I'm just very interested in like using myself as a role model, but I think it's cool. Like what they do on the O stage. It's great.
The only lady I know that has been Mrs. O is Dana Lynn Bailey.
Yes. Yeah. She has before.
Damn. She's a badass motherfucker. Let's face it.
They're all like really badass. It's great. If you can make it to the O stage, like you've put in some like really hard work to get there. I mean, that's a lot of dream for bodybuilders. Like it's definitely a dream of mine to one day compete on the O stage, maybe not win it. Like that's fine. I don't need to win Miss O, but to make it there would be like an honor in and of itself. So.
But remember, let's reach up for the stars. Let's try to get to the Mrs. O title.
Yeah, of course, why not? Yeah, I know, why not? I mean, if I become a Mrs. O, then like that'd be cool. Like, I mean, I've got, you know, fortunately enough, like, bodybuilding's not my only personality. So fortunately, like, I got other things I want to do in life as well. But like, I mean, hey, if I become Mrs. O one day, like, that'd be cool. Why not?
Yeah. What's super weird is that I actually found out, for example, Dana Lynn Bailey, because of her husband, who makes the best fucking gym songs there is. Like, you will get, like, that shit will help you break any of your PRs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't even doubt that. I don't even doubt that.
Yeah, they are both, like, beasts. Like, that's fucking gym goal couples over 10 times that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, I totally get that.
Now, what do you think about all these fucking bitches that skip leg day?
That skip leg day?
Yeah.
I think you shouldn't skip leg day, or nobody should skip leg day. Like, if you're a guy and you refuse to do legs, there's something wrong with your ego, to be honest. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, cool, do what you want. Like, don't do legs. But for you to work out and not provide your body a balance that it needs is completely stupid. But it works the same way with women, right? Like, if you're a lady in the gym and you're just working from the waist down and that's it, like, all I see is some women doing abs and booty and that's it, and they expect to look great. Like, some of the best looking, like, right, some of the best looking bodybuilders in the world, they do upper body, obviously. I think it's, men need to do legs as much as women need to do upper body. It definitely goes both ways. Like, you need balance if you're going to lift. You definitely need balance. Like, I'm not one to sit there and say, like, hey, you have to work out all sides of your body, but do what you want. But honestly, like, you're not doing any good by just working out just your legs and not providing your body some sort of balance.
You should drop shade. You should call them out.
I do. I think I've made a video one time before. I was talking about women making fun of guys with no legs, and I'm like, don't be making fun of dudes with no legs if you're hypocritical enough to not do upper body. So
that's true.
Yeah. I mean,
what, which is something very common here in Mexico. I don't know. I don't think that it's that common there on the US, but I've had a shit ton of friends who were like, no, I don't need to work legs. I already play soccer.
Yeah. No. Yeah, not at all. I mean, soccer, that's not the same type of conditioning that weightlifting is, right? Like, you need to do, you have to have some conditioning, right, for your sport, but you also have to build some muscle with it. And just soccer is not enough to say that, like, yes, this is what I need to balance my body out. Like, no, like, if you're going to lift weights, make sure you do a whole plethora of it.
Yeah. All around. Yeah, sadly, also these people who said it, like, no, I don't need, I shouldn't, no, you shouldn't lift weights. It will make you slower as a fighter. Mm-hmm. Shut up. What the fuck? If I can squat, I can kick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I've had, like, even coaches who've, like, commented on pictures or videos where I'm squatting, like, stop doing that shit. You're already a heavyweight, so you shouldn't lift weights. It will make you bigger and slower. You're very fucking slow. You're a heavyweight. You should never fucking touch weights in your life. Shut up. Like, bro, did I fucking win my last fight? Yeah, I was squatting every single day. What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a terrible misconception or assumption that if people lift weights, they're going to get too bulky to be able to perform or this and that. Like, you just got to make sure you balance it out with conditioning. That's it. Like, that's it. But there's no such thing as, like, becoming too bulky with weights. Like, even with women too, women are like, oh, I don't want to lift heavy because I'll become bulky. It's like, no, you won't. You don't just wake up bulky overnight. I've been lifting heavy for 6 years and I still look feminine in a dress. Like there's, you don't just wake up and all of a sudden you have, like, big ass back, big ass shoulders and like a big ass chest and then like a six pack. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. So I don't understand why women have this huge thing where they're like, oh my God, if I touch a weight, like, I'm going to end up looking manly. Like, you physically and genetically do not have the testosterone to create features that look manly. Like, I don't, it's mind blowing to me that people
different think frames, that. Different frames, completely different frames. Like, I have one of my neighbors. I there's a like a gym where only guys from this block can use it and whatever, because it's part of the property. And one of my neighbors, I'm always like telling him, you should try weightlifting. Yeah, he's a runner, and he's like, no, it will make me slow. I need to be light or whatsoever. And I'm always telling him, you should try squatting. At least it will make your legs stronger and it will help you prevent injury. No, I don't want to be bulky. Look at you, you're very thick. I've been lifting weights like 8 years from now, and I don't look as big as I want to.
Yeah. I hear you. And everyone has their goals. Like, you can be as bulky or as not bulky as you want, but like, you don't just wake up like 10 times like stronger, or like your shoulders don't like end up looking like 10 times bigger one day because you decided to pick up weights for like a few times a week. Like, it's just something that happens over time. Over a long period of time too. So I don't understand where this misconception is coming from, that if you touch weights that you're going to end up like looking manly. Like, you have to try to do that. In fact,
you do it on purpose.
You literally do it on purpose. Yeah, you do it on purpose. You're absolutely right. There's no accidental I get bulky because I touched weights. Yeah.
Now, I can imagine you have, especially when competing, you have a strict diet.
Very.
Fucking restricted diets, getting cut, getting lean and mean.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cheat meal?
Sushi.
Yeah.
It's a very healthy cheat meal too. It's sushi. I mean, I had sushi after my first show, and I will have sushi after this show. So sushi will always be like my favorite cheat meal.
You look more of like a pizza kind of person.
Really? I absolutely hate pizza. I'm like gluten sensitive and like I'm lactose intolerant and I'm like very sensitive to grease. So like pizza, like I cannot stomach pizza.
Shit, I'm gluten sensitive. Do I have problems with it, with an enzyme to process carbs? So yeah. I've been keto years at a time, but I realized it's not that sustainable, so I just go, I leave it over the grams of carbs that I would need to be to stay on ketosis. But fuck, I love pizza, and being on Mexico, fucking tacos are everywhere.
Yeah, I know. I always try to get like gluten-free tortillas, but to try and like, or gluten-free bread to try and make up for it. But like, I've noticed that there are a lot of places that do not sell gluten-free options. So it's like, sometimes if I go out to eat, like I got to be really careful what I order or whatever.
Corn tortillas don't have any gluten.
Yeah, you're right. Neither
those,
do.
Those are the good ones. Those are the good ones.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. I totally get that. But yeah, I would have to say, other than that, sushi, like sushi is gluten-free. So I'm gonna stick to sushi.
What's your go-to roll?
My go-to what?
Roll, like sushi roll.
Oh my God. The rainbow roll. It has like, I don't even know. I forgot what it has inside, but I think it has tuna inside and then a little bit of crab meat. But like on the outside, they like cover it with raw fish and avocado. So that's like definitely my favorite roll. But I like everything. Like I'll literally eat anything that's sushi. So.
Yeah, but I can't understand picky eaters, like people that only eat one or two things of any menu. Yeah, you should eat like a dog, be able to eat everything.
You should eat like a dog. Yeah, I mean, I love food, so I can't complain. I'm not that picky, but I'm glad I'm not a picky eater. So that's all I have to say about that.
What's your thoughts? Have you ever heard of, now that I said the eating like a dog, there's a guy on TikTok who says like, you should eat like a dog, because if you're a good owner, the dog will eat the same thing every single day. What's your thoughts on that, on doing that? Because he says like, yeah, I know I'm ripped. I know I look good because I always eat the same thing.
I think eating exactly the same thing every day puts your body into a state to where it can adapt to it. And if it eats the same thing every day, it will be able to adjust. But I also think variety is important. as well. I think to live life, you need to find a good balance between work and play. And part of that is living a life where you enjoy your diet. And hey, if you enjoy eating the same thing every day and like you view food as fuel and that's all you view it as, then that's fine. Go ahead. But I like to view food sometimes as kind of like an incentive or like a to go towards my goal or like a reward, you know, or like, you know, like cheat meals. Like I enjoy food. So yeah, I'm going to discipline myself to eat like the same thing every day during my prep. I'm going to discipline myself not to cheat, but I think it's important to kind of like have some sort of variety, especially if you're just living your life. You know, if you're not prepping for a show and whatnot, or if you're not prepping for a competition or a, you know, or something huge like that, there's no reason to like not have some sort of a variety.
What's the most stupid thing you've heard on the gym?
In the gym, to said towards me or
in general, dealer's choice.
Probably something that we already discussed, which is I hear this from like clients. Oh, I don't want to, and it's fine. I just don't know. But the same thing we talked about. Oh, I don't want to lift weights because I'll look manly, or I'm not trying to get bulky. And like, I'm like, no, don't worry. Like, you know, lifting weights is not going to make you manly and overnight. Like, we're going to make sure that like, it'll enhance your curves instead. I'm like, I tell them like, look at me. I was like, and they're like, oh, well, you don't look manly at all. I'm like, I know, cause weights don't actually make you look manly. So that's probably the stupidest thing I hear on a day-to-day basis. But at the same time, like it's stupid in my head, but to them it makes sense. So I'm just like, it's just lack of education, honestly. So I just, you know, educating people on like, you know, that weights can't actually make you look manly is probably the way to go.
Yeah, these 15 pounds of dumbbells won't make your shoulders explode overnight.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
Now, this is a very weird and kind of controversial question for you, but it's very standard on the podcast.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Sure.
How many midgets can you take on a fight?
How many midgets can I take in a fight?
Yes.
All of them. I don't care. Give me 100 and I'll beat them all up.
Damn, that's a nice fucking answer.
Yeah. All of them. That's my answer.
You've given the well, you're tied with a UFC fighter that I interviewed with with the highest number. But I've had like UFC fighters even doing math here. Like, yeah, I think I can beat a midget, one midget every 20 seconds. So if I'm on fight shape, I can fight for an hour or so or whatever. I mean, and
that's funny. I mean, if you want to get technical about it, like, I honestly don't know. But I mean, just, I don't know. Let's see. Let's see what I can withstand. Just give me all of it and I'll see how much I can withstand.
Great. Now, what's your favorite exercise?
I don't have a favorite exercise because it's constantly changing. I do have favorite muscle groups though, and my shoulders and my back are my favorite muscle groups to work, but I don't necessarily have a favorite exercise, if that makes sense.
What? I love doing shoulders. People why do people think that if you like doing shoulders, you're crazy?
I don't know. I saw that the other day on TikTok too. I was just like, someone had like bashed someone for doing shoulder. I was like, I love shoulders. I was like, what's wrong with shoulders?
What? Shoulder gang is the best gang there is. Like, I love it. I've got both of them dislocated, one during a roping match and another one during a kickboxing sparring match. Oh. Fuck, it sucked. But after that, I fell in love with doing shoulders. Like, I had to go to rehab and just get them fixed. And after that, boom, something clicked. I don't know how you fell in love with working shoulders.
I fell in love with working shoulders because I needed to build my shoulders for my division, for my bodybuilding division figure. So I'm in figure where they're very focused on a V taper, shoulder symmetry, etc. So shoulders are a big component to winning in figure. So because I had to start building them, I like learned to love them, if that makes sense.
Do you think calves are completely genetic, or can you make them grow?
So I think it's a little bit of both. I think you can help grow to an extent, but they're most certainly genetic based off like your muscle insertion. So we have to get like sciencey and all technical. It's all based off like anatomy and muscle insertion. Some people naturally have bigger genetics. I mean, if you take a look at my boyfriend, like my boyfriend has the biggest calves I have ever seen, and he works them once a month, and they're lean. So they're vascular and they're huge. I don't even know how many inches his calves are, but they're so big. It's not even funny. And he's white. So that's even funnier that he's a white guy and he has such big calves and whatnot. But I think a lot of it has to do with genetics, to be honest.
I didn't know there was like a stereotype between races and big calves. Which race is the ones with supposed the biggest calves?
So from what I know, Asians technically tend to have bigger calves. And then I would say, black people, they either have really big calves or really, really small ass calves. Hispanics, I have no idea where to start with Hispanics because I don't know. I don't know. And then with white guys, same thing. You either have really, really big calves or you just have really small calves and there's like almost no in between.
Shit. I've been working my calves off every single day, basically, like some calf races. I fucking hate how much I love them at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I like them, but I hate them too. I know exactly what you're talking about. But I mean, they're important to work either way. Like balance is still important. So
also like the calf insertion is very weird. Like there's the ones that are super high up that are called like sprinter calves.
Yeah.
And those that are the guys who get them like long ass calves and huge ones, bro, those are the God's favorite people.
I know, they get some awesome calf building genetics. I have no calves, so I have a little bit of calves. My calves are lean. They're small though, so I don't even worry about it because on a woman, like it's not viewed as like attractive or not, but on a man, like I feel bad for y'all. I feel bad for men because like it's like everyone like looks at y'all's calves. Like on a woman, nobody cares, but on a man, like you have to look at their calves, and it's just like y'all are always judged for your calves.
Now, you're always uploading stories to your Instagram and posts to TikTok with some fire gym outfits. Do you think about them?
About my outfits?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I premeditate my outfits. I have like over 40 some pairs of like shorts and leggings, and then I have like 50 some pairs of sports bras. Another small hobby of mine is like fashion. Like I absolutely love dressing up. Like I would like to think that I have a very good sense of style, and I like I used to be so much into fashion and like mixing and matching clothing. So I do this, I kind of like bring that into my gym clothing sometimes. So I'll try to find like cute matches, or I'll try to find like gym clothes that like look really good, try to find some like fire shoes to wear with it. But yeah, I'm like obsessed with like finding good gym clothing, because I feel like if I wear something that I enjoy wearing, right, and I feel like I look good in, like it makes my workout feel that much better. So that's why I always like match my outfits for the gym or whatever.
I can actually agree on that. Most people, sometimes I have people like, bro, why are you wearing the, like, didn't you wear this shirt? I color coordinate my outfits. Like most people should like look good, feel good, train good, compete good. You know, like you need to feel comfortable when doing things. And if you look like shit, you won't feel as comfortable.
Yeah. I don't know how people work out in like raggedy ass clothing and like still feel good. Like I need to look good to feel good sometimes in the gym. So that's why I'm always like dressing up with my gym outfits.
You think that MMA and boxing shorts should be acceptable on the gym?
Yeah, why not? As long as it's athletic clothing, just don't go wearing jeans to the gym and like a flannel. The one guy that like wears a flannel to the gym, I mean, do what you want, wear what you want. But like, I mean, I think like athletic clothing, like any type of athletic clothing, like that's cool, go ahead and wear it. But if you wear jeans to the gym, like what are you doing?
There was one Mexican guy I interviewed. He's also a bodybuilder. that he likes working out on jeans just because it pisses people off.
Oh, that's so funny. That I actually respect that, because then I feel like there's a lot of people judging him for that, but yeah, he chooses to piss them off anyway. That's hilarious.
He would also put like the clamps on the sides of the Smith machine for the same reason.
Oh, that's worse. There's no reason to do that.
To piss people off. It works.
I mean, piss people off. Yeah, I mean, that's the reason. That's so funny. That's hilarious.
Which is the biggest case of bro science you hear on the gym frequently?
I would just say, oh, that creatine is a steroid.
Oh.
Or that everyone should, or the like, hop on SARMs, like get on SARMs. People are so stupid. Like, creatine is not a steroid. Like, shut up. It's the most researched supplement out there next to whey protein powder. Like, it is literally has the most research backed behind it. And then SARMs is not heavily researched. It is not heavily researched. So there's a lot of places where you can get SARMs and not even know what you're actually getting because they just shove other shit in it. So like, that's so much that bro science, like that type of bro science pisses me off. I don't even speak on it because I just don't even want to deal with the people who are just too ignorant to realize that creatine is actually not a steroid and that SARMs is not a good steroid to take in the first place. If you take one.
No, I'm clean as hell. I take creatine, but the first time I took creatine, I was super scared because I thought like, okay, here goes my natural status. What the fuck? Like I did like 5 hours of research, and I was still feeling like guilty over it.
No, creatine is found in food, actually.
That's what got me like all chill, and I was like, bro, why were you so stupid thinking that creatine was a fucking steroid? What the fuck?
Yeah, but it's not. So
what's your thoughts on all these super shady looking pre-workouts and supplements?
There's an ingredient going around, like I think it's called DMHA, that is absolutely detrimental to your health. I think pre-workouts are fine, but there's a lot of shitty pre-workouts out there that have proprietary blends that don't have the right ingredients, or maybe have too much of one thing, or just are not safe in general and not regulated. So I'm very iffy about the pre-workouts that I take. But again, I haven't taken pre-workout in like almost 6 months now. So I haven't taken pre-workout, and I don't plan on getting back on pre-workout. So I'm not really worried about it for my own health, but there are a lot of like sketchy pre-workout blends out there.
I couldn't agree more. I don't want to bash on them, but there was a Mexican brand of pre-workout, and if there's something shady, it's Mexican supplements.
Oh yeah.
I can say that without being racist, because I'm here on Mexico fucking city. So
yeah,
they even DM'd me like, hey, we're looking for ambassadors and whatever. And I was just reading their ingredients. And they were like, I could recognize two names of different steroids, and I was like, what the fuck? This is a fucking pre-workout.
That's terrible. Yeah, I don't know why they would stick that in. I mean, I don't know how it is regulated over there, but like,
I don't know either.
Not heavily. I don't know much here either, but I know there are a lot of sketchy pre-workout brands selling very bad types of blends. So
the good part is that you can, most times you can spot them really easily, because the packaging looks shady.
True. Yeah. That's why I kind of just stopped taking it all together.
I went back to it, sadly. Like, I love caffeine, but sometimes it's faster just to pop a scoop of pre-workout and just leave.
No, you're right. You're right. No, you're right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with wanting beta-alanine jitters, so.
They're super addictive.
I know. I can tell you that right now. You're right.
Like, I right here, I have one of the pre-workouts I actually love, because it reminds me of my childhood. Like,
oh yeah, those ices.
Oh, cool. It tastes exactly the same.
Oh really?
Sadly, I can't find it anymore in Mexico. That sucks. But I was super excited when I got it, And it tasted just like the way I remember. Well, the actual way it tastes, because I have a 9-year-old brother, so sometimes he gets ices. And when someone has a cheat day or some cheat meal, sometimes I will steal an icy from him.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the biggest injury you've had throughout your bodybuilding career?
I've never had an injury yet. Yet, knock on wood, honestly. I haven't had any major injuries, so we're all good there.
That's great. It's a fucking hardcore sport. Like, I've seen the fucking bicep tears you guys get.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of, I train smart. I make sure I recover. I mean, obviously, like, injuries happen. Like, shit happens. But I make sure I'm constantly, like, I do a lot of things to help prevent that. Like, I do a lot of recovery. And I make sure I'm constantly getting massaged or stretched professionally. So I like to take care of myself so none of that stuff does happen. But, of course, like, shit happens sometimes. So I mean, knock on wood that nothing happens to me in the future, but there's a lot of people who've had a bunch of injuries.
Yeah. Well, the worst ones, I think, I remember someone told me that every year 43 guys died while doing bench press.
Oh my God, that's a crazy statistic. I've never heard that, but I mean, that I don't know how you could die from doing bench press, but I mean, it seems like it could happen.
Maybe. I actually, one of the guys, most of them actually record themselves. And one friend sent me a video of a guy dying doing bench press. That shit fucking sucked. Also, he died on the Smith machine.
That's like the worst way to die.
Like the bar fell to his neck and he couldn't move it. So he just fucking choked.
That's terrible.
It was scary just watching the video. I didn't want to see it, but you have to, you know.
I hear you. I get that.
Like the fact that you can't hear him scream, but you can look at his feet just wiggling around.
Yeah, I know. That's terrible. Yeah.
Let me know if you think I'm wrong with this, but if your friend dies doing bench press, you need to put two more plates on each side before calling the cops or the ambulance.
Yeah, to make them look like they were lifting a shit ton. Why not?
Yeah. You can't die benching 225s.
Yeah, you got to die benching like 405 or something like that.
You need to at die like a legend.
At least 315.
What are your thoughts on all these TikToks about? How the girls can't bench press TikToks.
Oh, I mean, I just think those people are like ignorant. They're just ignorant. I mean, I just ignore them because I don't need to post how much I can lift to validate the fact that I know I'm strong. So. There's no reason for me. I mean, I could show them up in an instant. That's fine. Like I can bench fine, but, and I can bench a shit ton for me, but honestly, I don't need to prove my point to anyone. So it is what it is. It's like one of those things that I just kind of like ignore, keep scrolling.
How much can you bench?
My max one time was 185, which is pretty good. So.
Yeah, it's really good. Like I've met guys that they don't even bench 135. Most of the people I train with can't even bench that.
Yeah. And I think the thing is too, like it's nice to be strong for a woman, right? But at the same time, like bodybuilding isn't really about strength. It's more about aesthetics. So like, it's cool that I can bench that much, but at the same time, it is what it is because bodybuilding is like really more of an aesthetic sport than anything.
Okay. Where do you get all your fucking fire ass headbands?
Okay. My headbands are prototypes of my company. So I'm not, so on that, that's a secret. I have,
Should we stop the recording for that?
No, it's okay. That's fine. But my company, Project Buff, I'm releasing headbands sometime in the future. But all those headbands that I wear are my own prototypes.
Shit, I can't wait for you to just for the company to launch. I need some like.
Yes, thank you.
It's hard to work out with long hair, and the man bun isn't always the best solution.
I will definitely be posting about it. I mean, I have to work on expanding other things first before I get into the apparel side of the business, but we'll see. My business is growing, so one thing at a time.
Do you think it is possible to have a good workout without having your hair tied if it's long?
Yes, if I'm doing upper body. No, if I'm doing legs, because if I'm bending over, then it's just going to be a pain in the ass and I'm going to have to like get it out of my face, or I'll be sweating and I have to get out of my face. If I'm doing something like shoulders or like arms or like chest, then I can deal with it down. But I can't remember the last time I had to work out with my hair down. So
it fucking sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I prefer not.
I've had to spar with the hair down.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard. Like imagine trying to dodge punches while getting hair on your eyes.
Yeah, you don't want it in the way.
No, that day, I don't know what, like, at the fucking beginning of the round, my headband just flew away. It committed suicide. I don't know. It decided, no, you're on your own, bro.
I've never had to do that, thank God. But I don't want to even think about working out with my hair down, so.
What do you prefer, earbuds or headphones?
Headphones, because I like the surround sound. Earbuds, they fall out of my ears. I use earbuds for like my business calls, but that's about it. Like I like headphones a lot. Better sound quality.
That's true. There's a lot of people who talk shit about them during workouts. Like you look out. I even heard. I can say this word because I have ADHD, but so I have this word passed, but I've heard people say they look retarded.
Oh yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't really think about the look of the headphones. I want to hear my music and I want surround sound. That's about it.
Yeah, I've never used them for cardio though. Like I just got some really nice headphones that I'm using to work out. I can't believe the fucking difference between earbuds and headphones is fucking different level.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Headphones definitely have great sound quality, so that's why I like them.
What headphones do you use?
Sony from the Sony ones from Costco. Yeah, I got them from Costco, literally. I got them from a grocery store. They were $150, but it's from Sony. So, I mean, they have pretty good quality headphones with surround sound and like noise canceling. So I like the sound quality of it.
Bluetooth?
It's Bluetooth. Yeah, definitely Bluetooth.
That's a fucking way. It sucks to work out with wires all around you.
Yeah, I'm not about to do that. No.
What's an exercise you would actually judge someone for doing?
I don't know if there's any that I would. Oh, you know when CrossFit people do butterfly pull-ups? They're like the pull-ups where they're like throwing themselves.
Yeah.
I think they're called butterfly pull-ups or something. I do not understand. Like, I get that it's for their sport, but I do not understand the concept of doing butterfly pull-ups. Like, there's no benefit to it. So if you're competing for sport reasons, like, sure, do your butterfly pull-ups. But if I see someone doing that in the gym, I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Or like quarter reps, quarter squatting. There is no benefit to quarter squatting unless you are specifically doing it for, I know there are some track runners that do quarter squatting, but if you are just quarter squatting to quarter squat, that there's no fucking, no, like just, it looks fucking stupid. Or like trying to go PR on the Smith machine.
Yeah, no, that's gross. I hate people that squat on the Smith machine.
There's no point. It's like, yo, I got like, yeah, I did 405 on the Smith machine. Okay, well, if you did it without the Smith machine, it'd be like half that weight. So you can't really say that was your squat PR if you did it on the Smith machine.
Yeah, that's cheating. That's fucking cheating.
Yeah, no, definitely.
It's like fighting someone who is like three weight classes under you.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. Ugh. Anyway, I have to take a call at like 5:30, so I gotta go.
Okay. But
I appreciate you bringing me on the podcast and interviewing me. And yeah, I really enjoyed this.
Do you have anything else you want to say to the audience?
Yes, go follow me on TikTok, which is Beefcake Brina. Beefcake is BEEFCAKE_Brina, BRINA. And then go follow me on Instagram, SabrinaLina.lifts. My name is Sabrina McMullen.
Thank you very much. It was amazing talking to you. You're more than welcome to come back whenever you want.
I appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.